And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei KAQA Kilauea, the station that loves you. This is Kauai Soapbox with Felicia and Marshall. And today we're going to be talking about community self-empowerment from the practical to the political. And in the first hour, we're focused on the practical aspects of working together to help each other in times of crisis and many other things. So I have two guests in here, Tad Mura and Kauai Civil Defense Agency Administrator Elton Ushio. So I'm really super thankful for them coming in. And in the second hour, we're going to be looking at the different citizen efforts that are underway to shift the political tide to support the people. There's many, many topics and different things that we'll be talking about. So Kauai Soapbox is made possible by listeners like you in partnership with Kauai Store.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect those of KKCR, its management, staff, board, members, volunteers, or underwriters.
The Kauai Store is located in Kapa'a on the highway in front of Kostilas. The store has authentic Kauai products including clothing, snacks, art, coffee, crafts, and more. We even have local food samples. The Kauai Store products are also available online at thekauaistore.com.
KKCR listens to you. If you'd like to make comments or provide feedback regarding our programming, or to suggest programming you'd like to hear, go to kkcr.org, click on the contact link, and take our listener survey. Or send us a letter at KKCR, P.O. Box 825, Hanalei, Hawaii 96714. Kauai Community Radio, listening to you.
KKCR's Waverider program will make a huge splash during our upcoming spring membership drive. For a donation of $175, a brief message about your business or event will surf the airwaves during every two-hour program throughout our 14-day fundraiser. The spring membership drive begins Thursday, May 12th and continues through Wednesday, May 25th. Early sign-up guarantees the most airtime for your donated dollars. WaveWriter forms are available on kkcr.org or call 826-7774 for more information. Reserve your spot in the lineup today.
And mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. It is so important, all our WaveWriters and our underwriters. We thank you. It allows us to have shows like what we're having today where we're going to learn about what's going on to keep everybody safe and solid when we have storms or different kinds of challenges that we have. And we're actually, KKCR is really hoping to become a deeper partner with the Kauai Civil Defense. We have always been one, and the Federal Emergency Management Agency gave us the grant that allowed us to begin in the first place, because after Hurricane Iniki, we didn't have radio up here for quite some time. I want to make sure that my guests are mic'd up okay. Tad, are you there?
Yes, I am.
There's Tad Mura from Deja Vu, surf shops, and many other things. Tad, you do a lot of community support. What's your direct role today, even though I called you to ask you to do this? But
today I represent RACES, which is Radio Amateur Civil Emergency Service, and it's a protocol established by the Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, and it's a group of volunteer amateur radio operators that support emergency management agencies like Elton's Kauai Civil Defense Agency and also the Hawaii State Emergency Management Agency, which was formerly called Hawaii State Civil Defense.
And we're stoked to have Marshall be a part of that team. Say hi, Marshall. Acknowledge, he's shy.
And you know what, Felicia, I have to apologize. Aloha, and I am having technical difficulties.
Okay. Yeah. All right. And then we have John Gordon, who's Jazz with John, and he's part of the team, too. And let's see if we have you up okay, Elton.
Aloha. I appear to be up and okay.
Okay. And you are with Kauai Civil Defense.
Yes, I am.
And so you're in the building with the police department?
Yes, we are, on the ground floor of the Kauai Police Department.
Okay, and in a few moments, we're going to be talking a little bit more detailed about that. But I do, Marshall and I have been following the primaries, and the Indiana primary was today. In the second half, we're going to be talking a little bit about history as it's being made. Last week, we had an incredible history professor from UH on, and then I went and saw him. He was really good. Marshall?
Yes.
You're always paying attention. Tell us what happened in Indiana.
Donald Trump won Indiana, as expected, and as a result of that, Ted Cruz has dropped out of the race.
It's kind of a big deal.
It's a big deal and unexpected. I haven't heard anyone talking about Ted Cruz dropping out of the race. He hasn't given any signal that that's what he would do if he lost Indiana or if he got to some certain point or whatever. He has just always said that he'll go on to the convention and hope for a second ballot and try to win at that point. And he's put enormous effort into garnering delegates that would be committed to him on a second ballot. So
it's
a surprise.
An upset. It's
a surprise that he would just give all that up. What I don't know is, can he still be nominated even though he officially drops out of the primary race? I know that according to the current rules of the Republican convention, a candidate has to have won primaries in 8 states in order to be eligible to win on the second ballot. And you know what? Unfortunately, I don't know if he's won 8 states or not.
So how about for the Democratic returns?
Bernie Sanders has won the state of Indiana.
And is that official?
That is official. He's got 53% of the vote to Hillary Clinton's 47.
And now noticed in Indiana for the Republicans, it was a winner-take-all in the delegate count, but it's not that way for the Democrats, is it?
No. None of them are winner-take-all for the Democrats. They're all awarded proportionately. Thing was, going into today, Bernie Sanders needed an average of 65% of the remaining delegates to achieve a majority of delegates by the convention, and he's not going to do it at this rate. He would have to have some sort of miracle.
So we can go in deeper of that in the second hour.
Okay.
Because That's a robust discussion.
It's a major turning point in the race right now, but okay, later.
Well, it's important, and I want to announce for people that there's going to be a meeting tonight in Hanalei at the general store of Hanalei, 6 p.m. regarding Papahanao Mokuakea, which is about the Marine Reserve. It's called a monument. Right now it is all the Northwest Hawaiian Islands, and they want to broaden that for most of the island chain. I don't believe Kauai and Niihau are in it, but if people want to know more about that, they could go at 6 p.m. there in Hanalei and Qingyang Village. I'm telling it early so people can plan to go. That one, it's being presented by people who are very for it. It's a complex issue. There's 8 very strong Kanaka Maoli Hawaiian people who have put their voice out for it. I saw today that there's about 23 House members at the state legislature that have written a letter saying many people don't want it. We can talk about that a little bit later in the second hour. But that's something that is up. So now, bringing it home with Tad and Elton. This is not an El Nino year, is that correct?
Well, we are yet to receive the National Weather Service official 2016 hurricane season outlook. That is actually due on, if I'm not mistaken, the 26th of May. So we will see what the current year hurricane season will look like.
And that might just be my naivete or having been involved in a hurricane. That, to me, always hits the top of my list. Hurricanes, what is the top of the civil defense list and things to be looking at? Is everything equal, or what help us understand what the role is of what your organization does? And I think something we would like to be bringing out in this show is all the smaller volunteer players that are part of the whole collective. I'm looking at my hand like this is your mitt for catching catching problems, and there's a number of fingers on that, and civil defense is the hand itself.
So if I were to read you our mission statement or recite our mission statement, it actually has to do with not only natural disasters but other types of threats. So verbatim, our mission is to protect the lives and property in the county of Kauai by coordinating and integrating efforts among all levels of government and the private sector to mitigate against, prepare for, respond to, and recover from natural disasters, acts of terrorism, and other threats and hazards. So on the natural disaster side, you had asked, our four main areas we look at are tropical cyclones, which include hurricanes, tropical storms, tropical depressions. We're worried about tsunami, of course. Tsunami, Hawaii has a considerable history with devastating, destructive tsunami. We address or often have to plan and respond to flooding and flash flooding, weather-associated events. And finally, in Hawaii, earthquakes. Now, Kauai is not in a, you know, an area that is a high earthquake risk, but the eastern half of the state, Big Island and Maui in particular, do have a considerable amount of earthquakes. So those are our four primary natural disasters that we prepare for, plan for.
And then so the non-natural disasters?
Non-natural disasters could be fires, possibly intentionally set. It could be chemical hazardous material spills. It could be acts of terrorism. So things of that nature.
What about economic disasters? If there was a big economic disaster, does civil defense engage?
Our plans do not directly address economic disasters, socioeconomic collapse, and things of that nature. But the partnerships that we build, the training that we do for law enforcement, for responders, some of the policies, plans that we have in place could be activated in
if there was some really unforeseen challenge. I mean, I'm not trying to project that. It's not something that I naturally think about. But when I was listening to your mission statement, I was trying to fill in the blanks of what that might mean. You are listening to Elton Ushio and Tad Mura from Civil Defense, and this is Felicia Marshall on Kauai Soapbox on KKCR. So what are the different branches of the Civil Defense Agency? Obviously, there's the fire department, the police department. That's somewhat in there, right?
Well, police and fire are partners, two of many partners. Civil defense itself, nowadays it's called emergency management in pretty much every state except for Hawaii.
Okay.
But we are just a central planning, coordinating entity that brings together all of the different levels from federal, state, county, community-based organizations, non-governmental partners, the utility providers, etc. And we are like a producer, or how should I say this, like a director or producer of a movie. We're not the stars, but our partners, they make it happen. We help coordinate and bring everyone to the show, make sure everyone's informed.
So the obvious would be the Coast Guard. They would be there
Coast
if we
Guards,
had a problem.
Yep.
And then the ones that citizens are involved in more, we've had the Community Emergency Response Team. Marshall's part of CERT. We've had the firemen in here to talk about CERT.
John Cornell.
John Cornell. And then we've had, you're speaking, Tad, about the radios. Tell us a little bit more about the radios.
Okay. Well, as I had mentioned before, our RACES group consists of trained volunteers who have amateur radio licenses. They're allowed to transmit on amateur radio frequencies as dictated by the Federal Communications Commission. So our group trains monthly and do communication exercises. In event that there is some communications failure on our island or in our state, that we can provide support to emergency management.
So for a person who's 25 years old, maybe they don't know what a ham radio is. I think when I was young, you were young, there everybody kind of knew what a ham radio was, but everybody's got their cell phone and stuff now. How is a ham radio different than the radio they're listening to this show?
Well, ham radio, you know, as I mentioned before, requires a license to get, which isn't very difficult. It's just taking a written test that consists of 35 questions, multiple choice, and then once you get the license, you're able to transmit on amateur radio frequencies. Now,
So it's a different set of frequencies, and you can transmit where a regular radio you can only receive.
That's correct.
And so what is the frequencies? Is it below radio, or is it faster than radio?
It depends. It can be below or it can be above. It depends on what type of broadcast system you're talking about. It's like AM broadcast stations. Most of the amateur radio frequencies are above it. FM, they are both above and below.
So a person with a radio couldn't hear what's being said on ham radio. Ham radio is like having a big walkie-talkie system with each other.
That's correct. Most radios are not able to receive amateur radio frequencies or transmissions. So you're not going to be able to hear ham radio operators speaking on a broadcast band radio like KKCR, one that would receive on KKCR.
And when we had the last hurricane, we didn't have radio up here for a very long time. That's why FEMA put the money up to have KKCR. And that's why when people say, how come KKCR is on the North Shore? Because the North Shore needs to have, you know, we can get cut off from the rest of the island. And so that's why we are up here. Would the transmitters and the receivers, I mean, whatever antenna, put a ham radio out? Would that get knocked down just like the regular radio antenna goes down?
Normally in a hurricane situation where the high winds would knock a broadcast band antenna down, definitely amateur radio will suffer the same fate. However, installing or reinstalling an amateur radio antenna would take far less time. So an operator, once the high winds pass, could easily re-erect that antenna and be operational.
Okay, and so like when KKCR has an antenna here, we just put that back up, and then it's separate communication on the ham radios, but then we could be giving out the information from the civil defense if people needed it.
Well, it'll probably be more useful for the amateur radio station here to transmit and receive vital communication information. They are not designed to broadcast like KKCR, broadcast information right out to the community. It's information passed from one ham radio station to another, not for general public.
Okay. All right. But if they did say tell the people, then that could go on the regular radio.
That's correct. Amateur radios would serve as an intermediary in this case. And then once they get the information, they would pass it along to you, who will transmit
on
KKCR.
Radio.
That's correct.
That's what I was thinking. And so I'm also thinking we have, do you still have canine rescue?
Canine rescue, not a part of civil defense, but there is a canine rescue organization with that
amazing
capability.
And then we have the one in the air,
the Civil Air Patrol.
Civil Air Patrol.
Yep, a vital partner for tsunami warning, search and rescue. We've even used them for damage assessment after a big fire, and we could do so after tsunami or hurricane.
Do you see Civil Air Patrol playing a role in terms of like going out to Kalalau and somehow alerting the people out there in case of an impending hurricane?
So that role is actually already part of our agreement with them and their practice, their response plan. They have two aircraft that will fly out of Lihue One will go along the Kapa'a coastline all the way down around the Napali. The other aircraft will fly along our south shore across and will halo Ni'ihau, strobe light and a loudspeaker announcing whatever the threat is.
Wow, and they could hear that down at Ni'ihau, a loudspeaker.
Yes, and we've repeatedly gotten comments of campers or hikers along the Napali who, you know, were notified and were able to hear the message, or at least know that something was up when Civil Air Patrol flew by.
Right, right. So tell me about the Emergency Operations Center. What does it take for that to be activated? Where is it? What does it look like?
Okay, so the Kauai Civil Defense Emergency Operations Center, acronym is EOC for short, is located in the ground floor of the main Kauai Police Department police station. We are in a windowless room, no glass, completely encased in concrete to the sides and above us. We have redundant power, very secure, strong facility, multiple redundant or backup communication systems like satellite base, for example, redundant internet, what have you. And in the event that primary systems go down or even our antennas, satellite dish, etc. go down, we can put out backups relatively quickly. So the EOC, we will automatically activate for events like Emergency Operations Center will automatically activate for events like a tsunami warning or a hurricane warning, tropical storm warning, etc. And we do a partial activation for something smaller like a flash flood warning. Other activations, it kind of depends on the situation. You know, your normal fire call or rescue or police going out and doing an operation does not require us to activate. But should the incident get more complex, go longer than anticipated, start to involve more of a variety of resources, especially if outside resources are required, we want those first responders to be able to concentrate and do their job. So they activate us, and we bring in that military support, the off-island support, bring in those 50 additional firefighters to fight that wildland fire in Koke'e, etc. And so that's kind of like the role we play and when we stand it up.
Okay, and so when the EOC is activated, you're there, and how many other people are in that room? And can you stay a while if you need to?
Yes,
to set up?
We've stayed there 24-7, rotating 12-hour shifts, actually, for upwards of 2 weeks, such as after the Kaloko disaster. And we'll have rotating shifts, you know, 12 hours with a slight overlap for the briefing between shifts when we change out. And we're able to sustain operations for quite a while. The size of our response really varies depending on the incident, because we'll bring the people who we need to the table. Tsunami, hurricane, it's just about all of our partners with a seat there. But for smaller events, we'll just bring the most applicable parties.
And it seems like the first layer that I really appreciate, those are the sirens, and those are the phone calls. They'll mm-hmm. call your house. Is there a number that people can call to get their cell phone hooked up to the warnings?
Yeah, so for the emergency mass notification system, if that's what you're referring to, it's the county's system, which we purchased from a company called Blackboard Inc. And Blackboard provides us with a very quick notification of landline phones on the 411 directory. And if the customers choose to register, they can get their cell phone, text message device, or email added. And they can do that through the kauai.gov website.
Okay. So
or by calling our office at 241-1800.
800. Okay, because it's not on my cell phone, so I'm being selfish on that one. I actually want to know. And then if people wanted to join Civil Air Patrol or Ham Radio or CERT, is there a central area that they can come to be able to say, hey, I want to be a part of helping?
You know, if they were to call our agency at that number I provided,
241-1800,
yep. We can provide them with the links, or you can contact TAD or the Civil Air Patrol directly.
I'm looking at Tad.
Yeah, they certainly.
Do you want to give a number?
Well, I'll give you a better way to make contact is the website. The Kauai Amateur Radio Club has a website. You can find loads of information about amateur radio. And the website address is KH6E.org. So KH6E.org. And on that website, you can find how you can be licensed, what it takes, where to get information, and there's even my contact information on there as well. So if you want to personally email me about anything connected to RACES or amateur radio, you know, you can find it right there.
So it's one of the main purposes of ham radio is to serve in times of emergency, according to the FCC. Is that right?
The Federal Communication Commission. I don't like acronyms, so.
So they actually have allocated this bandwidth to amateur radio based on the fact of amateur radio being able to serve the community in emergencies, but it's also a recreational thing that people do.
Yeah, that's correct. It's basically a hobby. So amateur radio operators, a lot of them don't get involved in public service communication. They just talk story, you know, to folks around the world on their ham radio equipment.
You can talk around the world?
That's correct.
I didn't know that. So you could talk to Oahu or Hawaii?
That's correct.
So how does it do that? Just
by magic.
By magic. I could talk to London on a ham radio if I wanted to?
You can talk to London.
Wow. I didn't know that.
That's right.
Bounce the signals off the clouds, off the space station.
And that's why Marshall got his amateur radio license.
That's right.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Come on over. We'll talk to...
somewhere far away? That is pretty interesting. Yeah. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
And, you know, actually, I can't do that with my radio, though. I've just got a handheld radio that doesn't operate on those frequencies, if I'm correct, Tad.
Yeah, well, Marshall's radio is a VHF radio that basically covers Kauai. So he can speak to someone in Waimea from his location here in Princeville. But if you wanted to go to farther distances, then you have to get something like what John Gordon has.
John Gordon, the hero of Jazz
John
with
Gordon.
John.
I wish he would come by. Oh, wait. Hey, there's John. He's sitting right here.
John, do you have a magic radio like Tad's talking about? John's saying yes.
Yeah, basically it's... what we use here locally is VHF, which is a higher frequency, but to talk around the world, you need high frequency, and I do have a high frequency radio. The one issue in a lot of areas is it can often take a significant antenna, and some CCNRs restrict those, so there are some workarounds, but I have talked to other, well, I used to be on the network, and I've talked to the rest of the state, I've talked to some other off. Sure, I think I talked to Marshall Islands once and stuff, but I haven't pursued it, but it is certainly an option. Yeah.
CCNRs means conditions, covenants, and restrictions on a subdivision. So you're saying your subdivision might not allow you to have a high antenna, but you could probably touch it against the antenna, another antenna.
Well, there's workarounds, and let's leave it at that.
There's workarounds. Because one layer of concern, we really have never done a show very deeply on that, but I have a number of listeners, maximum respect to those listeners who are a little bit more aware of what's going on in the universe than I am, that are concerned about things like pole shifts or big... serious changes. You know, I don't have the knowledge base to really do that show very well, but people have been pointing out, they say there's a lot of fire on the Ring of Fire, meaning so many earthquakes and volcanoes, and that the Ring of Fire is the edge around the Pacific Plate that we're on, and so it's been doing a little bit of rocking and rolling, at least it seems like it. And I need to say we're at the bottom of the hour. KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea. We're talking with Kauai Civil Defense. So when I'm thinking about that, then like if people were expecting something catastrophic, like a big earthquake on Hawaii that causes a very large tidal wave throughout the islands, and they needed to tell California they were okay, or, you know, something big happened, that would be what the John's radio could do, right?
Yeah, but I do want to mention after Nikkei, for the first maybe 24 to 48 hours, the only communications they had between Kauai and the rest of the world was amateur radio.
I remember that.
Yeah, because I was with FAA then, and we came over, and then...
FAA, Federal Aviation Administration.
Yeah, Saturday after the storm, we bought a satellite radio over, and that was the first non-amateur communications they had with the rest of the world. The way air traffic was operating was interesting, because their radios are VHF, too, so they're basically line of sight. So when the airplanes got within line-of-sight coverage of Lihue Airport, they talked handy-talkies, and they were in the fire trucks on the airport because the tower was totally messed up at that point. So, but
and bringing it down to the mundane, when that happened, I was a business person, and Tad was also, and when you have to get a hold of your suppliers and say, hey, I can't write that check this week, and you don't have a phone or any kind of... regular way to communicate, you know, you can at least probably talk to ham radio, say, hey, can you put this word out that to call us back or try to figure something out. I mean, it was actually an interesting time, and all our suppliers were really pretty great to us and were helpful, but at that time it was not easy to even fly inner island, and they didn't let miscellaneous people come over. You had to have a reason to be here, and there was a pretty narrow element of flights.
Yeah, I was involved in that. I was kind of the local spokesman for FAA, and the problem was there were so many people that wanted to do flight seeing tours over the hurricane damage, and we did not want that happening. So we were, let me say, marginally legal in restricting the amount of traffic that could come to Kauai for the first few days after the storm. And I was working with the State Department of Transportation. Rex Johnson was the director of then, and we worked closely together on that. But, yeah, it was hard to get over here unless you had a mission. I was over the next day because I was on a National Guard plane to assess the situation with the FAA equipment. But it was an interesting time.
Well, thank you for that. It causes me to give a shameless plug for KKCR. That's Jazz with John. So we got two men in the room here in KKCR. We're doing our fun drive in another couple weeks. And, hey, keep us on the air. It's this is community radio, and it is citizen paid for, so it's all very, very important that way. Elton, were you here during the hurricane? I know Tad was.
I was here during the hurricane, but I was just 2 years out of college at the time. That predates my
you look younger than
county
that,
career.
Actually.
I actually came into the county to run a $1 million disaster relief grant a few months after Iniki.
Oh, okay. And the disaster relief was really great. Fortunately, it was Kauai that got hurt and not, say, Oahu. I don't see how the outer islands, the neighbor islands, could have taken care of Oahu the way all the islands were really so helpful to Kauai. You know, it was so much aloha that just came pouring in from other places. What message, while I have you in the studio here, when you're speaking to the average listener, and many people have moved here since we've had a disaster, many other people have grown up since we've had a disaster. I know I am disaster conscious. I have boards for every one of my windows at my house. They're all labeled. I kind of live hurricane prepared. But, can I give you a hard time right here for a second? North Shore, all we have is the Kilauea Neighborhood Center. I meant to go in there and look today at what the how many people could fit in there. I think the fire says something like 100 or less. So there's a lot more people on the North Shore than that. That's the only designated shelter. We're going to obviously need to have some others. If we look around the island, is all of the island lightly prepared like the North Shore, or is there other areas have much more sheltering?
Okay, as far as, I don't know if the term lightly prepared is the best term to use.
What would you call that?
You're discussing shelter capacity or shelters?
Shelter capacity.
Yeah.
You know,
so, I think my predecessors and I have done our very best to have as many shelters as possible. Unfortunately, public facilities are limited, particularly on the North Shore, and where we would be evacuating Hanalei and Haena for a tsunami event or areas subject to potential storm surge, etc. So North Shore, Yes, the public ones are the Kilauea Neighborhood Center and the Kilauea Elementary School.
Oh.
So that actually adds to
it. Okay, I didn't know you had
that. And they've been doing some...
Would that be the cafeteria?
Various buildings where they've been doing retrofits to strengthen.
Okay.
So, you know, we have a map of campus with the designated buildings already planned out in advance. But beyond that, the next shelters are in the Kapa'a area.
So Anahola, they maybe go to Kapa'a.
Yes, we have Kapa'a High School, Kapa'a Elementary School, Kapa'a Middle School in that area. And then,
so the school buildings?
Yeah, the vast majority of our county shelters are at the State Department of Education school facilities. We have some at the county facilities like the War Memorial Convention Hall, Kilauea Neighborhood Center, and we have the Kauai Community College Performing Arts Center.
Yeah,
and
that
then,
makes sense.
Kauai Humane Society is a pet shelter.
How about the convention hall?
Convention hall is one of ours, yeah.
Oh,
Hawaii
like
Memorial Convention
so
Hall.
So people would be best to look at something that is a concrete and steel building, preferably not with a bunch of glass on it. But if there was one with a bunch of glass, go in an inner room where you would be able to be separated from that.
So, yes. Yeah, so what a lot of our partners in the visitor industry do is, where feasible, they plan to shelter in place in internal hallways away from windows, hopefully with access to running water or restroom facilities. If people are in very well-constructed homes, by all means, you know, if they feel safe there, they can stay there. The shelters that we have are going to be crowded. Although, supposedly, looking at the statewide data, we do quite well compared to the other counties as far as the percentage of the population, the numbers that we could shelter. We still don't really have enough spaces. Right now we're at about 19,000 spaces for resident population, and now with the updated census data, in excess of 70,000.
Plus about 20,000 people on vacation.
Yep. So
we have about 90,000 people, 19,000 spaces. So like what I've found when I'm at places when a hurricane is coming and I notice nobody is going through their fire drill. A lot of times I've been in places when nobody there has ever been through one. So if we were to give them a few quick tips, you tape your windows, you know.
So the best advice I could give, just in a nutshell, is we want everyone to know, from individuals, our ohana. So these are residences. We want our visitors, businesses, government, and private sector partners. We want everyone to know that preparedness starts at the individual level and on up. And everyone needs to do their utmost to become aware of the dangers and the potential threats, and to try to make preparations. And I think one of the resources is our kauai.gov/civil defense website, where we actually have a information on various, you know, various potential threats, and tips as far as how you can make a family plan, disaster kit.
Are those written ones?
Yes.
Can I make another recommendation? I'm always shameless.
Sure.
I think I want to give a big shout out to Hawike. I think if you made a video and you can make it pretty upbeat, it's just kind of like keeping people from drowning or how to rescue somebody. If you make a video like that and you show them, flip the trampoline over, flip over the lawn furniture, what to do, and to tell them how to do it, to let them know to go uphill, not distant, to let people know that there's storm surge, that we don't want those waves coming over. Traffic, to me, that's the biggest challenge. When you look at that Wailua corridor or Kealia corridor, where people are basically literally stuck there right on the beach, if you were going to get a big storm surge, you could have a serious problem. I think if we were to tell people that, you know, you can make it hip, happy, and healthy. That's what I always try and do. But I think if you made a half-hour video and put it on Hawike, that would be great. You could have it right on your Kauai.gov website, and people could be, you know, put it on YouTube, so people will be loading it around on social media when we have challenges.
We actually have access to resources such as what you mentioned, with our partners at the National Weather Service producing a video on hurricanes and hurricane preparedness, and our partners with the Pacific Tsunami Warning Center doing so on tsunamis. So I could forward that information to you and possibly try to work with Hoike on either reposting them or broadcasting them in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah, because I think how you frame the message is going to, you know, you want to make it entertaining enough that people don't get bored, that they actually sit there and watch when they're not even scared.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that it's willing and wanting. We had one young man who watched that 16-year-old man who watched the video in the airport and saved his father in a drowning, you know, with the rescue tube. It can make a difference.
Mm-hmm.
So I would think things like that. And, you know, I think also if you have, like, a map of the island where people are able to look and they're able to know where to go upstream, like, you know, I mean, uphill. So, like, if we did have a tidal wave, you know, think like you're teaching seventh graders.
So if you go on our website, at the very bottom of the page, there's a interactive tsunami evacuation zone map viewer. You can go by a map with shows the streets and what have you, or you can go to a satellite base map with actual images of the buildings and everything, and it overlays the normal tsunami evacuation zone and the new extreme evacuation zone for an exceptionally large Aleutian event.
Which is up near Alaska.
Yep. And we also have downloadable pages that people can look at themselves or just print, such as the maps that will be in the upcoming phone books.
Okay, that's a really good one. I know when I very first landed on the island, for whatever reason, I looked in the phone book. I'd never heard of having those sirens, and then the next day was like the first Tuesday of the month or something, and they went off, and I jumped out of my tent, and I was all nervous, but nobody else was even moving.
Something I'd like to suggest is what Marshall had mentioned earlier about the CERT program, Community Emergency Response Team. And that gives you a lot of information about how to protect yourself in case of emergencies and disasters. It gives you, builds the skill and awareness of how you can react to these and prepare for them. And, most residents, I think, if they haven't gone through any kind of formal training, preparation for disasters may be second, not top of mind. But if you take the CERT training, this Community Emergency Response Team that John Cornell puts out over here on Kauai, you will have this understanding about actually what you need to do to prepare and to come up with a plan. And I tell you, you learn a whole bunch. And it's free. It's offered by the County of Kauai. It's a 24-hour program. And recently, the Princeville community had a training program, and Kilauea just finished one.
And Lihue?
Now Lihue is undergoing a training. So I'd highly recommend folks taking that.
And what's the role of Red Cross? It feels like they should be mentioned as well. Red Cross does quite a bit, yeah?
Red Cross does quite a bit. They help us with our staffing for our shelters. They'll help with damage assessment after a major event. They'll even go out and assist people who have become victims of a fire. They'll do proactive things like smoke detector installation and a large number of different activities on their part.
And so people would just go Red Cross Kauai on Google or something. They'd just look it up, and they could sign up for training there?
Red Cross, you know, what I would recommend to you is to invite Patrick Gallagher.
He's
their director for Kauai, and he'd be an excellent future guest for your show. And he could speak a lot better about American Red Cross Kauai than Dad or I could.
And I see I got a lot of people from Japan listening right now, and I want to really give my heart to people from Japan, because they must take these issues very seriously. They've been definitely showing the world that they are able to just really keep their chin up and move through seemingly disaster after disaster. They've been having a lot of everything over there.
But in spite of all the disasters they've been having, they are a very well-prepared community over there. Japan, I've looked at their training that they do to average residents. I'm just floored by how well prepared they are. And I listened to a professor that came down, and he actually did this presentation at the Kauai Civil Defense Agency's EOC, and he detailed how in a certain community they would have people watch, like neighborhood commanders, go and make surveys of who in that neighborhood, people with disabilities. And after they tallied all of the surveys, they actually practiced a drill. So we wanted to see how fast we could get these individuals to shelters. And they actually carried these people from their homes to the shelters and timed them.
Wow.
That's amazing.
That's amazing. I look at who all's listening. We've got three people from Indonesia, and maximum respect to the people in Indonesia, too, because they've definitely had to really deal with so much stuff. I know when we had our event that I was a part of with Aniki, the military were really hero, too. That was very humbling to see how much help that they were able to provide to Kauai. And we were lucky that they were available and around and not deployed somewhere. So that was really a great situation.
So there's a lot of cross-training that happens as well. Yeah, ham radio operators will be a part of the Red Cross, will be a part of Civil Air Patrol, and whatever. And that's a great way to be involved as well. You're both nodding.
Yeah, this is radio. You got to speak. But okay, Tad Mura and Elton Ushio, we're really happy that Kauai has you. And between the, what do you call it, the emergency mass notification system. When I've seen these potential for tidal waves or tsunamis, we've done really good fire drills. I've been really pleased how we've been able to get everybody up to high land, and it ends up being kind of a fun party up there at Crater Hill or wherever we're out there looking at. And it might be, this is coming from Felicia, not from Civil Defense, but if you are those people that are in this community who have a concrete and steel house, you might think about being a neighborhood location and or a strong cinder block house. I am going to give a shout out to my single wall wooden sugar house that I live in that has survived three hurricanes. And so you can tell it's twisted a little bit, you know. It's not completely plumb, but it made it through all of them. And I think actually being able to bend and move, so... You know, I'm not worried. I feel solid.
I have a home just like that. But, you know, we can count on great neighbors to help us out in need. That's the beauty of Kauai.
Yeah, that's a really big beauty. So I'm going to give you guys one last little opportunity to say aloha to the community, and so that you can be able to get out of KKCR before the gate is closed. Any final thoughts from either one of you?
Well, like I said previously, I just want to reiterate that preparedness starts with the individual. Prepare yourselves, your families, through that, your community, and extend it out from there. I mean, we are government with Kauai Civil Defense, and we coordinate among all the levels of government, private sector, community-based partners, etc., to do our best, but people of Kauai and Ni'ihau, your individual and family preparation makes it easier for us, and ultimately makes it better for everyone on the islands.
I'm glad you brought up Ni'ihau. They are absolutely in our listening area, and we even have some shows that are directed at them. So, yes, Ni'ihau, we need to always keep you in our hearts and be aware of that.
Yeah, I want to thank you, Felicia, and Marshall for inviting Elton and I over to the station this afternoon. And I thank John Gordon. He's a good friend who is a fellow amateur radio operator that helps us in public service communication. And I want to invite everyone to think about becoming an amateur radio operator, because it can provide a great capacity and capability for you for communication in times of communication emergencies. So think about it, that website, kh6e.org.
Wonderful. I keep, you know, what comes to my mind after the hurricane, it was actually an incredibly loving time. Everybody was so nice to each other. It seemed like all our pilikia with each other was just gone. Everybody was, you know, maybe there's a few little exceptions, but for the most part, it was an outpouring of aloha. It was really a pretty special time. And to see everything get flattened in 6 hours, meaning every piece of bummer that you're often fussing over, and then you're just simply happy to be alive and happy to be helping your neighbors. And the more you're trained, the better able you are to do it.
What was that great Hawaiian word you just said? You pilikia?
I said pilikia. That means trouble or humbug. You know, pilikia. No pilikia means no problem or no. Let's not fight.
Okay.
So okay, guys. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot for coming in. Really appreciate it.
Yes.
Aloha. Thank you.
Yeah, and Gordon, John Gordon, maybe you can show them for a moment where we did have our big ham radio. So he's looking. So we're going to send them out there so KKCR can be even more helpful to Kauai. So, Marshall, I want to thank you for really being a strong partner in working to keep this side of the community safe.
Well, I'm doing a little bit. It's a lot of fun. It's great. On the ham radio, we get on what's called a net twice a week. And it's just sort of an opportunity to test out your gear and practice communicating using all the jargon and the slang. And it's very cool.
Right on.
Yeah.
So people can call in, too, at 826-7771. And what we were talking about a little bit earlier with community self-empowerment, I said from the practical to the political. So I want to really be putting a shout out right now to my friends. I know so many people have personal crises that, you know, isn't something that the civil defense is going to come jump in for them. But people can have heartbreak, homelessness. There's a lot of different ways that people need to be given strength. And so, even just before I came in here, I'm just going to bring up one small piece, and then we can talk about some larger elements of things. There's been catamarans on Hanalei Bay for probably 40 years. They're just people's boats that are parked there. And it's almost a landmark along the bay, and there isn't really a rule that allows them to be there. And you could go broadly and say that's private property on a public space. And so somebody last week filed a complaint with the Department of Land and Natural Resources. So that's been a pretty big hardship for the people who have those catamarans there, because they've been there for a very long time. And you know, people might think that that is wealthy people who have a catamaran, but in fact, mostly it is not. So they were given, like, tickets that said they gave them 5 days to have them out, or it is $5,000 a day for a fine.
Really?
So that's a pretty powerful one. We did get a call yesterday of distress over that, and I'm going to give props to our representative, Derek Kawakami. I called him, or I emailed him and explained the situation. And so he has talked to the Department of Land and Natural Resources, and at least for an individual who has two of them there, you know, they've been able to get an extension of time to be able to move it, because the person doesn't even have a vehicle. And has had that boat there. That's like a core source of joy for that person. And, you know, when we decide, oh, something bothers me, I don't want to think about it, you know, that's the thing that's really hard with these laws. So they are going to have to move it, but I am putting a collective shout out. If anybody has land, private land, where they are willing to let these boats park, or even a few boats park, know that that's a need. know that that's a need. And, you know, when I guess when I was looking at a handful of things about the effect of laws, I tend to go and advocate for people in court, or really just by sitting there with them and watching. I don't go to court with everybody, but when people have a court case that is somewhat an indicator of a problem. In this case, I went with somebody who is new to the island, kind of a woofer, somebody helping on the farms and an extended vacation. And, you know, there was talk of the rubbish down there at Kalalau. So a pile of them went down and in their boats to go clean up the rubbish. So they went in to do a good thing, and they went in to clean the rubbish up. I wasn't there. I don't know all the details, but there were arrests made. And so I went to go and see what the outcome would be for that, because they're kind of shocked because they really hadn't anticipated. They didn't understand. Sometimes, you know, you just don't know what the law is and whether that's an excuse or not. But I went in, and in his case, you know, there were six of us that went into support, but they never did hear the case. They got a continuance, which means they pushed it out for another 6 weeks. And I don't know how long this person is planning to stay on the island. That's a little tough, too, because then you're stuck here. But in the meantime, I watched a handful of other cases, and most of them were involving dogs. And without going into a lot of detail on it, it was just really struck me, because this past year we've had all these barking dog ordinances, and I've been in there and watching, and, you know, people really feel strongly on either side of the issue, and you know, there's good points on either side of it, but in many ways it's a symptom of the gentrification of our island. And so people's lives were deeply impacted. You know, here it's hard to even get sick and not get derailed financially. And if you have a $2,500 bill from the Humane Society because your dogs have to stay held for 2 months before your court case comes up, or it could be 3 months, it's this very big financial hatchet right there. And I just was watching, because I've been going to court for so many years, and it's only been recently now I'm repeatedly seeing these animal stories. And it's like it's a loss of freedoms. You know, we might think, oh, there ought to be a law about that. But I think, hey, talk to your neighbor. Talk to your neighbor. And, you know, maybe in fairness, many people have talked to their neighbors or whatever. But just to know that with the law, there comes a lot of force. So this is KKCR, Hanalei KAQA Kilauea, Felicia and Marshall with Kauai Soapbox. And this program is made possible by listeners like you, in partnership with the Copper Man.
KKCR, Hanalei, KAQA, Kilauea, K224CQ, Anahola, K284AL, Haleiwa.
The views and opinions expressed during this program are those of the speaker and do not necessarily represent those of KKCR, its board of directors, staff, volunteers, or underwriters.
The Copper Man. Copper, stainless steel, and galvanized aluminum. We specialize in ornamental and custom work and fabricate and install any kind sheet metal work, residential and commercial. Serving Kauai for over 30 years. We're still talking. HarryConti.com. That's HarryConti.com or 639-3456.
Shh, it's KKCR's Silent Fund Drive. From now until the start of our spring membership drive on May 12th, we encourage you to participate in our Silent Drive. All Silent Drive contributors will be entered into our early bird drawing for a chance to win a two-night stay at the beautiful Hanalei Bay Resort in Princeville. Our goal is $60,000. Help us get there by making a donation today. Call 808-826-7774 or visit kkcr.org. KKCR, Kekani o Kauai Nei, the sound of Kauai.
Aloha, listeners of KKCR. I'm Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots global news hour, urging you to support Kauai Community Radio. As a beacon of free speech, KKCR has been broadcasting from their jungle shack and building community in the island since 1997. KKCR brings you Hawaiian culture and music, independent voices and choices like Democracy Now!, otherwise shut out from the corporate media. During this program, please show your love for KKCR by making an investment in the station that loves you and become a sustaining member. Your monthly support at any level will pay dividends all year long and ensure the continued success of Kauai Community Radio. From our family at Democracy Now! To your ohana in the center of the Pacific, mahalo for your support. It really does make a difference.
It really does. Mahalo for supporting Kauai Community Radio. And Marshall, I am really super honored to be a part of Kauai Community Radio.
Mm, yes, me too.
It's a joy and a wonderful kuleana to be a voice for the people. Most of the material that is brought out on Kauai Soapbox is driven by concerns from people who are listening and who rely on KKCR. And so I really hope that we will be able to have some donations on the front end of our drive so we can really limit how much we have to do the ask. I know for myself, I'm a monthly donor, and so I don't have to worry about that. And it's what I can afford, and I just put a little bit in every month, and it helps keep the lights on and the power running and us going. I want to also really acknowledge Amy Goodman and Goodman and Democracy Now! I listened to it today. I actually listened to three of them this week. Have you heard any of it?
No.
Very, very heavy reporting, very intensive stories. There's a lot that isn't going well in the world. And, you know, I know on Kauai Soapbox I try and keep my happiness to bummer ratio stronger on the happiness side. It's hard to sit there and listen to what's wrong, but sometimes there are things wrong, and it's really important that we're able to be looking at it. And last week we had Dr. Ron Williams Jr. on. He was at the Halawai Kuakoa series of Hawaiian education that is being put out by a group of people that are somewhat on the sovereignty direction. They really look at what injustices occurred in the past, but the thing is that they occur now. When I look at these stories, like he did these great stories, one thing that really came out for me powerfully was as they were reading, his research comes from reading the Hawaiian language letters and documents and what happened amongst the leaders. And they were very literate, and they wrote so much down, which, you know, was new for them, but they did it. And so something that I saw and was inspired by is even right after the overthrow, they went right back in, and they got in the legislature, and they worked hard to make sure that the Kanaka Maoli, the Hawaiian people, were able to keep a vote. And they made changes that still affect us today, like keeping the Hawaiian Constitution when it's called Hawaii Revised Statutes. It's because that government took over the old one, so they revised what was in there. People from this island and, you know, around the Kanaka Maoli people really asked for a separation of the counties. They had different counties instead of having just one government, so that they had a county government. There was a lot that was good that was happening there, and when I listened to, you know, how the manipulation of power was happening and what was being utilized in the media, even back then, you know, it's been more than 100 years, you know, probably 110 years, and the media was utilized heavily to manipulate the political outcomes of the day, and that's happening very much now. And even today, right? Like literally today. So one of the things that went before the legislature today was a bill to be able to update the words of what trespassing on state land is. And it had two targets on that. Some of it is the homeless people to just say, okay, if there's a sign that's written that says, we're closed at 5 o'clock, whether there's a gate or not a gate, you have to be out or you're arrested. And then the other one is really to try and preempt an effort to have protectors on the mountain, like what happened with Mauna Kea. If those protectors had not been up there, the state and the builders would have gotten away with breaking the state law, and they would have been able to build. And so there is just always that mindset. And in fact, the courts looked at it and they went, no, you know what, they did not follow the law. They didn't comply with what was required, and somebody else would be required to comply. You know, it becomes a two-tiered system of laws. And so by these people standing out there nonviolently, they held the government accountable to their own rules. So they have been bringing it before the Senate and the House to basically criminalize what they did. And this morning there was, you know, people who came in customary behavior, you know, with in traditional clothes. And, you know, it was a production there. But in the end, they won. And so that bill was killed. Last week, the stuff with Alexander and Baldwin, we talked about that, their ability to divert the water, where the Commission on Water Resource Management said, nope, you know, that they were breaking law for what was happening. They stood, but the Commission on Water Resource Management said, this isn't right, how much this water is completely diverted. And then it was taken to court, and the court again agreed with the people on their water rights. So it's a chess game. So a law was put in to be able to take that right away, and that passed today. So where water is allowed to go is a very, very important aspect. And when they took the water from West Maui to bring it into the Central Plains, what happened is they lost their kalo farming ability. They lost a whole lot of things. So it was kind of a cultural genocide. And I was seeing that right now in Canada, in north central Canada, there is a very, very big push going on about that. So we're seeing this kind of resistance all over.
About the water?
Well, in Canada, they had 11 First Nation kids try and kill themselves on the same day. So for them, they're saying it is about cultural genocide of the Aboriginal people. And I'm reading a book. I went to something called the American Association of University Women this weekend. I can talk about that in a little bit. But it was actually a pretty great conference. The national board president is from Kauai. Her family's from Anahola and Hanapepe, though she's lived on the continent for, you know, most of her life, and she's in Washington, D.C. But she was over, they had the D.C. people over here, people from all around the islands, and they were talking about things. But somehow in speaking to another person there, we were talking about this history, and she gave me this book called The Imperial Cruise by James Bradley. And this is Teddy Roosevelt's cruise that he put out with William Taft, and it's really interesting. It's where we went to Hawaii and then Japan and the Philippines. And, you know, it's a sad story to be reading. I mean, the author clearly doesn't have a tremendous amount of respect for Teddy Roosevelt, but he's laying it out on how many people were killed across America and then intentional misuse of politics, you know, deceptive politics in these foreign policies.
So there was, back up a second.
Okay.
There was a cruise, and we went to these different places.
Well, the book is called The Imperial Cruise. It's not like this is a mission. There was senators and representatives, and the William Taft, who became the next president, but he was what would be now the Secretary of Defense.
So it's sort of a diplomatic cruise.
It was a diplomatic cruise, yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, reading, and this stuff is documented and footnoted. I always try to look for the facts, but, you know, deliberately misinforming the Koreans and the Japanese and the Philippines. And I haven't totally finished it yet, but you see how this was the precursor of what caused World War One and World War Two. And I took an extra interest in this because we've been learning about Kalakaua going to the West and to the Asian countries. And we recently had one of these speakers who could understand the languages over there and see the cross-communication. And so I really didn't know very much about America's role with the Philippines, but it is another very sad story. Mm. And, you know, we have to somehow right this ship that our country is on. And so this election is, I feel like, a big piece of history, too. When I see what's going on, you know, it looks like to me that both the Republican Party and the Democratic Party are really in a lot of turbulence. Their first choice for their candidates aren't winning.
Well, the head of the Republican Party now, I just saw, is calling Donald Trump the presumptive nominee of the Republican Party for the presidential election of 2016. So, I mean, this, it's been interesting, but now we start to get kind of wild. Felicia, because there are those who are going to flock to the Republican Party's presumptive nominee, no matter who he is, and, you know, to somehow identify with him, I don't know, without trying to look like a racist and a xenophobe and all of these other things. But then there are going to be Republicans who don't want to be seen that way. Okay, like most of the ones running for any other kind of office, governors, senators, you know, representatives down the line. What are these people going to do? And he said, that's our presidential nominee, but I'm not like him. In fact, I don't have anything to do with him. Sorry.
It's a very interesting situation. John Gordon, who's in the next show, Jazz with John, he's usually very, very shy about speaking out on politics because he's got such strong mana'o, but I've got him sitting here.
Well, I you guys probably didn't see it, but Trump was making an announcement on live TV. And he was very mild, very mellow. He said, what a great guy Cruz was.
Oh, yeah, right, okay, Lion Ted, he's not that bad.
Yeah, it was amazing. He had all his family there, his wife and his kids and stuff, and it was a totally different persona than we've seen up till now, so I don't know whether that's going to stick or not. But anyway, it was shockingly different.
So he can't get away from who he is.
Well, everything he did and said is recorded for prosperity or, you know, in perpetuity. So.
Yeah, the theatrics that get involved in all that, that's something that I saw, you know, in this story that I'm reading about Teddy Roosevelt, you know, and Buffalo Bill, how he was influencing what Teddy Roosevelt was and how it's this big shtick that's out there. What did you see with the Democratic? I don't think you and I are supporting necessarily the same candidate, so it makes for a little bit more interesting discussion.
Well, Sanders won today, and I guess the math, it doesn't make much difference. That they've declared the that Trump is going to be the candidate. It's kind of a given. I don't think they've quite done that with Hillary, but I don't think there's any way that Bernie can catch her. And my problem with Bernie is that a lot of what he says is good, and it would be good for the country, but I don't think he can ever get it through. And he certainly can't get it through without significantly increasing the income tax. And that's another thing about Trump. He wants to do all this stuff, and he wants to cut the national debt.
Right.
That,
so
that doesn't
do
compute
it?
Either. You know, I mean, from a practical point of view, you can't do all this stuff. And also the stuff that Trump wants to do, and I saw in Bernie, is stuff that the president alone can't do. It requires legislation. It requires laws and stuff. And it's going to be interesting to see how the congressional races pan out with this. No, I think Bernie's got a lot of good ideas. I think it would be really great if he would reconcile with the rest of the party and try to bring them together, which is what Trump is obviously trying to do. But I don't think at this point he has much of a chance. And again, I think his programs are probably wouldn't have much chance of getting through Congress.
I think Bernie has a better chance than it might seem, like all these super delegates are, you know, just far and away for Hillary Clinton. But when you look at it, like Washington State, every single county went for Bernie, and zero of their superdelegates are going for Bernie. And I know that, like, I heard from the Hawaii convention that was this Saturday that Brian Schatz, he did a very good job at our convention. He probably did a very similar job at the Hawaiian convention. You know, he did a very nice discussion about being civil and, you know, what's good in the Democratic Party. But as he was talking, you know, it was very obvious without mentioning either Hillary or Bernie, he was basically promoting Hillary. So I guess on the Big Island they started to say, Bernie, Bernie, Bernie. And they Bernied him off the stage. I believe we have a caller.
I'm sorry, Felicia, no. We don't have a call.
Okay. He's on the phone with somebody. Okay, so, yeah, like in our state, only Tulsi is supporting Bernie so far. And around the country, there are majorities for Bernie, and the superdelegates are for Hillary. And it's hard to see how that's going to be able to really stay that way.
Well, you know, the superdelegates are one argument that Bernie is putting forward. Did you see the speech that he gave to the National Press Club the other day?
Yes, I did, and it was a good one, I thought.
It was really great, and he says he's sticking out to the convention. He says, one, the superdelegates should vote for how their state went, right? Well, if all of the superdelegates up to this point, this is before today, went with how their state voted, he would still be 200 superdelegates behind.
Is that right?
That's right. And in addition to the gap that exists in the pledge delegates, he would still be way behind with,
I have to listen to it again. He definitely had a pathway, but I think that's presuming that he does well in California.
He really, I think, wanted to make it sound like he has a pathway. You know, he made that point. He made the point that he does better in the theoretical matchup polls with Donald Trump, and that if he's the nominee, more people are going to come out to vote. More Democrats are going to come out to vote because there's more excitement around him. So all of these things okay, but I can't see that he really expects the Democratic Party to overturn a majority of voters voting for Hillary Clinton. I almost suspect that there's something he's not saying because it doesn't add up. I mean, I know that he wants all of his supporters to be able to vote for him, and he doesn't want to, you know, quit too soon or whatever, but there's something missing in this picture.
And what do you think on that, John?
Yeah, I tend to agree. I'm going to be real candid with you. I don't understand all this superdelegate and pledge delegate and all that stuff. It's seems a rather complex system, but I think Hillary's going to be the de facto candidate. How she'll fare against Trump, I don't know. Like I said, today we saw a totally different Donald.
Right. You know, I think what has happened, what I'm observing, is so much has come out about the manipulation that both parties can do. I think it might really start to signal a shift away from the party system. You know, a real reformation of it, Aloha, you're on the air, KKCR. You're on the air, KKCR.
The phone's messing up, Felicia. I'm hearing it. Here, try this one.
Oh, okay, yeah. Anyway, it will be interesting, and I think one thing that everybody recognizes that what Trump has done, he's gotten a lot of people, Republicans that previously weren't involved, to come out and vote. The Republican voter count is way, way up compared to what it has been. So I guess that's a good thing. I don't know. I have one comment about Trump. He wants to try to run the government like a business, and after over 30 years working for the government, that doesn't work. Had my own experiences, my own agency. They tried it maybe 25 years ago, and it did not work.
And you were in the Federal Aviation Administration.
That's correct. Yeah, we tried to be like business, and it did not work.
Well, and for the callers that are trying to call in, I'm letting you know we're having a little bit of technical difficulties that we're trying to resolve. Are they there? So we're gonna go
check
try
with
and
Dean.
Check with Dean. You know, this community radio, and that means you need to help us out. You can donate at kkcr.org. Sometimes we need to get our phones and whatnot fixed up.
Anyway, I did contact Felicia earlier about this program, especially when I found out that my friend Ted and civil defense folks were going to be here. And my campaign is to try and get a siren for Princeville, because we don't have one now. And this week we couldn't hear. So anyway, they did advise that there is one in the budget, and there's a siren going to be going, a super powerful siren going to be going in down by the sewer plant in Princeville.
You don't have a siren in Princeville?
Princeville has no sirens.
Really?
So if we're lucky, we can hear maybe Kilauea, maybe Anahola, maybe Anini, and sometimes
Conaway.
Yeah, but this week I couldn't hear any of them in my head. My hearing aids in and turned up. But I did not hear any sirens at all this week. So amateur radio also does a siren validity check. So they verify the sirens are working. So,
have you been following any of the topics on Papahanaumokuakea? Are you familiar with that?
No, I'm not.
Okay, because that is something that is under discussion, and it's very difficult for me to really be able to work that out. In Maui tonight, they are having a big public hearing on it, and in Hanalei, I'll go down there at 6 o'clock. People who are for it are going to be speaking about it. I think we all care about our animals in the water, and we are, you know, the ocean is just being pretty ravaged.
Yeah, you're talking about the protected zone, yeah.
The protected zone. So Papahanaumokuakea is what's called a monument.
Yeah.
And that is...
I could never pronounce it, but I know what it is.
Ah, okay. So it is a monument, and then they want to extend this monument to be around the islands.
Felicia, we are having a problem with our phone system, so I want to apologize for the people that have called, are calling.
Okay, let me see. Aloha, you're on the air.
No, we've got Dove here trying to help us, and why don't we let the callers know when we've got the situation fixed, Felicia?
Telephone gremlins are at work.
telephone gremlins are at work. So what I did see, though, I got something came in today that an email from NOAA, that's National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, and the U.S. Mariana Trench Monument. They are considering transferring that back to the Marshallese people. Yes. And then so there they're thinking of letting it go and giving it to the Marshall Islands. There's actually a number of what people would call deoccupation efforts that are happening through the Pacific. So it is less incredible than people might think that sometimes the protectorate countries let go of some of these island nations.
Yeah, I've had quite a bit of experience out there. That was in my territory in FAA, Micronesia, the Marshall Islands, Republic of Palau, and Guam. It was very interesting, and some real issues out there.
Have you been down there then?
Oh, yeah.
So
many times, but not lately, but when I was still working.
You know, something I was seeing being circulated, there's an island, I think it's called Chuuk.
Yes. And used to be Truk during World War II. It was Truk. Now it's Chuuk. Chuuk.
And that there has been radiation from all the bombing. They were bombing down there almost every day for 2 years.
I don't think nuclear bombs.
Okay, well, that's what they're saying, that it was nuclear bomb testing. So that what you see down there, that there's some stuff that's being circulated. Like, I appreciate that you're a little bit older than me, so you have a longer memory.
Not necessarily.
They have this concrete dome over the top of that island because it's a concrete and steel dome to try and sequester the radiation that's there.
Well, I don't know. I haven't heard of that, and that wasn't the case. It's one of the premium, was maybe one of the premium diving areas because of all the relics from World War II that were in the lagoon, but I was never aware that there was any high degree of nuclear testing down there. But I'll do a little research. You can hear a lot of things. I had a guy tell me the other night that you couldn't swim at Tunnels Beach anymore. Is that true? He said that.
Why not?
Something about the reef.
Well, the reef has died out there.
Yeah, but I know, but they're not banning swimming, I don't think.
No. I mean, it might be that the waves are too big.
I don't know. There's some misinformation. I'll find out about Chuuk, but I've been there, and I've never stayed overnight there, but I've been in Chuuk.
You didn't see some big, gigantic dome?
Gosh, no, yeah. That's okay. Part of the Federated States of Micronesia.
Right. So I'm going to send you a copy of that video, because that's something that is called crowdsourcing. You know, when we put words out, like, it's important to me on KKCR that we don't propagate misinformation or disinformation, and... But I do, part of my role for Kauai Soapbox is as people raise things to my concern, then I try and
Like I said, it's been well over 20 years since I was out there. But I don't know. I'd never heard of that.
This was supposed to have been done. I mean, the dome was built prior to that time.
No, not
to your awareness.
The furnace is still not working, Felicia. We're going to try to get another unit in here. Very strange.
Okay.
Just can't put anybody on the air right now.
Okay. And you are listening to KKCR Hanalei, KAQA Kilauea. This is Felicia with Kauai Soapbox. I've got John Gordon and Marshall in here. And Marshall, maybe you could ask them what their main point is, and then you could share it with us.
There's nobody on the phone.
Okay. All right. So... Anyway, when we're looking at that expansion of the monument there, like mostly in the monument that's now in the Northwest Hawaiian Islands, it means nobody can go there and nobody can fish there. But what I was saying earlier, John, is when we make rules, then there are things that happen when laws are broken. And people's lives get really... damaged or impacted. And when we are looking at history, what we've been seeing in some of this stuff that's been coming out of the archives, as people are now being able to read Hawaiian, they go, whoa, you know, we see all this misinformation, and we see where laws were put in place that basically have suppressed very big portions of the community, and, you know, most notably the Native Hawaiian people. But you know, these things impact all of us at some level or another. John, when you are looking at this decade versus times past, how are you feeling about the direction of the country and the world?
Well, I'm not as pessimistic as some, and I one issue I've really had with Donald Trump, we want to make America great again. I'm sure America can be better. But I'm basically a capitalist. I think we have the best country in the world. We have the best lifestyle. We have more freedoms than almost anywhere else in the world. And I think President Obama's done a fine job. I think he inherited a total mess, and there was a letter or an article in the local paper a few days ago that sort of reinforced this. And I think he'll go down. You know, it's funny because you look back in retrospect and try to evaluate presidents, and Harry Truman was, he grew up in my neighborhood, or I grew up in his neighborhood, rather, and he was, you know, really looked down on, but he ended up doing a lot of tough things, and he was a really, I think, a great president, and I think history will show Obama's done it. He saved the economy, and Obamacare is certainly flawed, but one of the reasons it's flawed is because of all the hookers that Congress put in it so he could pass it. Now they're saying, oh, it's a terrible law, and it's got all this stuff. And
right. It was ruined before
exactly.
It was passed. It was ruined
it
before
was.
It was passed. The intention was to create something like public health.
Yes.
And health care for all. But what did end up happening is it's almost like when you have required insurance for your car, you at least get the option to not have a car. When you have required insurance for your body, and you don't have the option to not have your body. So,
well, I think it's hard to find out actually what Obamacare has done and not done. I think the jury's still way out on it. I think it's done a lot of good things. I guess the costs are going to go up, but you know, health care in the United States is outrageously expensive, and I don't know why.
Well, because of all the layers and layers of the...
That's true.
It's a racket.
And all the nonprofit health insurance plans that pay their leaders $3 or $4 million a year, their CEOs, I think that's ludicrous. But anyway, because they're supposed to be nonprofits, and we've seen that. I don't know what the head of HMSA makes, but he gets a nice stipend. I know that
it's a pretty big challenge. I'm sure there's a lot of good from the Affordable Care Act. I know for me, the good that's come out of it is that I have stopped going to the doctor and I am healthier for it.
I don't argue with that.
I'm kind of saying that the truth, you know, because my health care is too expensive to go to the doctor, and my insurance is painfully expensive, so I consider it catastrophic coverage. You know, I'm in compliance with the law by having it, but I don't go to the doctor anymore because I have like a $600 deductible, and
I've got a pretty good deductible. I have the, as a retired Fed, I have their insurance plan, and also because I'm so old, I've had the Medicare, which has actually worked very well. I think Medicare is a good program. So.
Well, that's what was wanted, is like Medicare for all.
Yeah, yeah.
And we see in other countries that it's
well, in some places apparently there are long delays in seeing a physician, and other countries it works very, very well. The Netherlands is an area I think I mentioned before is very similar to what Bernie wants to do, and they've got universal medical and tuition is free, and it works there, but it's expensive.
Yes. Did you have something, Marshall?
Yes, Felicia. I want to pass on a comment from a caller. It's a little bit in-depth, so let's see if I can get it. That 80% of our commercial catch from the long lining fleet comes from that closure area, but only 20% of that is shipped out. So most of what comes from there is actually feeding the islands. And although it's said that 5% of the effort is in the closure area, 5% of the fishing effort, actually 20 to 30% of the catch comes from there. And the caller was making the point that actually this closure is it's stated on the website of President Obama that it's part of his legacy project, that he actually wants to, you know, make this closure part of his legacy. And the final point was that with this closure, commercial fishermen could lose not just a percentage of their livelihood or their business. They could actually lose all of their livelihood or business. So you could see people just going out of business altogether. And I hope, caller, I hope that I did justice to what you were telling me.
And, you know, there's a couple really important points right there. One is the ability for Hawaii to feed itself. right, when we are looking at this, this show is supposed to be about self-empowerment, community self-empowerment, being able to feed ourselves, like we were talking about Red Cross and everything else. And I say have root crops in the ground when you're worried about a hurricane. Have all different kinds of crops in the ground for whatever else might happen. Fish in the sea is important. It's important that we're able to be able to catch them, but it's also important that they're able to continue to exist. So,
I'm sure you may be aware, but one of the big box retailers here that sells a lot of fish, their ahi all comes from the Marshall Islands, and it has forever.
And so
it's fine, but I mean, it's not from Hawaii.
It's not from
some of them, but you know, that caller actually made the point that if we eat pokey, we should appreciate that much of that comes from
Marshall Islands.
Is that right?
Yep, okay. All of it.
Well, at the big box store.
At big box stores.
At the big box store. Well,
and I don't know about the other grocery stores. I don't know about them.
Well, here's something that I know I take personally because I do care about the fish. I would rather I will expose my bias. It makes me very nervous to see giving a big piece of the oceans out to the federal government. I would like to not see that happen. But I know myself that maybe once or twice a week I will buy something with fish in it, maybe less, you know. But, I mean, normally I'm happy to buy something once or twice a day with fish in it if I'm out and eating. So I know I have to change my own behavior. I'm actually, a long time ago I was a vegetarian until I got pregnant and stuff like that. My body, that's not what it wanted anymore. And my kids were natural vegetarians. But I feel like, okay, I should work to do that again because we've got to stop eating the fish. You know, it's not about the laws. It's about being conscious.
So Dean, our intrepid station manager, was in and worked a little magic on the phones. Apparently they're working. So
somebody needs to try it, 826-7771, and we'll see if we have the phones up and working.
Let's light them up.
Let's light them up. And So these are tough calls, and when I see the Northern Islands area with Papahanaumokuakea, hey, it's a military operation. I think that doesn't sound like much of a reserve to me. If you're, you know, having, you know, a war out there, KKCR, you're on the air or practice war. Did I say you're out there? I'm sorry. Hello, you're on the air. You're on the air. Hello, can you hear me?
Aloha! Thanks for talking about sustainability and your beautiful life.
Can you turn your radio off, please?
Oh.
Okay, go ahead. Are you there?
No. We lost her, Felicia. I don't think that was our fault.
Okay, we'll call her, call back, and then you just need to have your radio off while you are on the air. So I got distracted as I was talking. If we can all affect our behavior, you know, help our dogs behave better, you know, how do we not have all these laws? I guess that's my big point. Don't overfish the ocean. Down in Micronesia, that area is very much overfished. Palau, you know, they have big issues of pirate fishing going on where it's really catastrophic for them. KKCR, you're on the air.
Hello, this is Makani Christensen.
Hey, how are you?
Oh, good. How's everything going today?
Good, good. So I know who you are. You probably got some mana'o on Papahanaumokuakea, so I want to hear it.
Yeah, you know, it's one of those things that, you know, if it's a legacy project and it's benefiting a couple people and not really thinking about everybody, you know, that's wrong from the get-go, yeah.
Meaning if it benefits President Obama's legacy.
It benefits the President of the United States, a sailing club, certain individuals. It's not benefiting the best interests of our entire state. And, you know, for us Native Hawaiians, we can't even go up there, harvest fish for the fishermen to come back and bring fish.
Have you been up there at all?
No, I haven't had the opportunity because they closed it off before I was even
old enough.
A commercial fisherman.
Yeah.
No.
So, did you hear any of what I was saying? Like, what do you think about people eating less fish when people are trying to protect the fish? But, you know, we go, okay, let's put these heavy laws in. But then...
Well, if we were to do that, we would have to produce more of another...
food.
Basically, half of our Amazon rainforest would have to be taken out just to feed and substitute our fishing industry. Fish is a huge part of
diet.
Feeding people.
Yeah, so like I'm just trying to think about how do we resolve it. You know, we were just having somebody saying a lot of what goes in the big box stores is really coming out of Micronesia. The fish are coming from there.
They're coming from Asia, yeah.
Yeah, and then, you know, I'm a little paranoid. I get a little worried about the contamination in the waters there.
As you know that, if you think about it, well, the science is there. All the fish that we catch in Hawaii for a long-lining fleet, 80% of it is kept in Hawaii. 20% is shipped out, like, to California and, you know, a few of the restaurants out there on the East Coast. However, we account for only 1% of the entire commercial catch in the Pacific.
So
and that's a small percentage.
Do our waters get pirated if they put this area out as are local fishermen competing with
Think about it this way. You have 400 miles on each side plus the 50 miles on each side. So that's 500 miles around the Northwest Hawaiian Islands that are no-go zone for fishermen or anybody unless you have a permit. What's to keep the other countries from coming in, fishing in these areas, if they're not regulated?
So how do they regulate? Do they have a Coast Guard out there? How do they keep people out?
I don't know. That's a good question.
So did you go to the talk here? Was the talk here happen yet?
No.
You're on Oahu, yeah? Did you go to the talk on Oahu?
Yeah, the individuals from CQ decided not to come to Kauai.
What is CQ?
CQ is the headquarters for the President of the United States.
Oh.
They're here in Oahu, and they're only doing closed meetings. In fact, I didn't even get an invite to it.
Really?
Yep. They're doing closed meetings, and there's a lot of fishermen that will be affected by this, including Kauai fishermen that have not been invited to these meetings.
And we weren't invited because they decided not to include our area in that. Is that correct?
Well, no. There's nothing that says Kauai isn't included in this area. Nothing.
Oh. Okay.
Yeah, no. Kauai has a big... Because remember, it's a stroke of a pen, a president that goes like this. Oh, you know what? We'll do all of this. And that's it. It's law. So the Kauai guys, all the Kauai guys that fish Middle Bank and everything like that have a lot to lose. They invested all their livelihoods. You know, fishing isn't easy. It's one of the, from my experience, it's very, very difficult to catch fish and feed people.
Well, I do know.
These guys have invested their entire estate into fishing, and they have the opportunity to lose everything in a stroke of a pen by a president.
I know when Papahanaumokuakea was put in place as a monument by George W. Bush, it really was a stroke of the pen. They had been working on something else up until the day before, and it didn't work out. So then, it was, I think Ron Cochi calls it belts and suspenders legislation. If the belt doesn't work, the suspenders are going to hold up the goal. And so, how can people find out more information? Where can
you know what? There's not that much information out there.
I've been looking.
It's basically a group of individuals that sent up a letter to the president. Yep. Noah Thompson, William Isla,
Walter Mitty,
and the rest of the guys.
Yep. Kamanao Pono Crab, he was one.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it was part of the Pew Initiative. So Pew is donating a lot of money to this that flew them up to Washington, D.C., to lobby all these politicians and the president to push this so they could make an announcement in September for that convention that we have here, the environmental convention that's coming up.
And that's in...
How sad is that?
Yep.
That's messed up.
I'm trying to follow it, trying to stay on top of it, and it is concerning. And I know even OHA designated some money for that event. So, well, thank you so much. Now, you are with Farmers, Fishermen, and Hunters? Is
Hunting,
that
Farming, Fishing Association.
So how would people find you if they wanted to find you?
Oh, hffahawaii.com.
H-F-A-A?
Oh, H-F-F-A.
Okay, Hunters Farming Fishermen Association, HFFA.com.
And then we got our Facebook post, our Facebook site as well, so Hunting Farming Fishing Association on Facebook.
Okay, thank you so much for calling.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Aloha.
Aloha.
Bye.
Bye. And we have another caller, correct? Aloha, correct. You're on the air.
Hi, Alicia. This is Terry Lilly.
Hi, Terry.
I'm doing, how are you doing today?
Good, good.
I just got out of the water spearfishing, so this is kind of a subject on my mind. Hey, you know, the last caller had it kind of right on 100%, in my opinion. And I did a really long study in French Polynesia, in Bora Bora and Mo'orea and Tahiti.
Mm-hmm.
And down there, they put 33% of their coral reef systems in marine reserves. But they do it only after a study to show that that's going to increase the fish catch on the rest of the islands. The marine reserves are actually set up for the benefit of fishermen. So there's part of the islands are a baby farm and part of the islands we fish. And it's been very successful. I spent a lot of time down there spearfishing and fishing with a bunch of scientists and the local folks. And the fish populations came up for everyone to catch after the marine reserves were put in. So relating that to the Northwest Hawaiian Islands, you can't just take a whole area and make it a reserve. I mean, that's never worked anywhere. If we would study the area, we actually would have people there and scientists and biologists and fishermen all working together to study the area, make part of it a reserve, and have part of it an active fishing area, I believe everyone can get what they want here. We can have way more sustainable fishing in the Pacific Ocean.
So are you going to...
79% of the planet here, and it can be very sustainable if it was just studied. The problem is they do these things without any studies.
So are you going to write a letter?
Oh, I've written so many of them. It's absolutely ridiculous.
Yeah.
I think the White House has my target on my trailer, as you know. It's a rare combination to be a fisherman, and I've fed myself in the sea since I've been 4 years old, and I just was out spearfishing today down at Kalalau and got a big uku for dinner. And I know all the commercial guys, and they need to make a living, and they need to feed the people. This is something been going on here in Hawaii for 1,800 years, and it can be sustainable with the proper studies. You don't just close something down to fishing without a study to know what to protect, what to keep open, so it balances the baby farms in the ocean with the sustainability of the fishing. And I'm appalled that any of these decisions are made without the proper studies. And that's kind of, as you know, where I come from every time. We're just not putting enough effort into studying sustainable fishing.
Okay, well, thank you so much for calling.
All right, you're welcome. Aloha.
Aloha. And tomorrow night at Kapaa Library, I think at 6 o'clock, there's going to be a strategy meeting for KKCR, and Jonathan Jay is in charge of that, I believe. And he's wanting to let people know that it's a potluck and mission statement workshop and 5 to 8 tomorrow. But the community is always welcome at KKCR events. Do we have another caller? Aloha, you're on the air. Hi.
How's it going?
Good, good.
Clayton Kubo.
Hi,
Waimea, Kauai. You know, as for the expansion of the monument, yeah, I've been hearing a lot of things like, oh, it's a done deal. It's a done that, and it's a goal, and whatnot. You know what? If you're always going to oppose something, and probably it is going to be a done deal. Where is the common ground? Where is the medium ground? where is the center ground to all these scenarios? You know, honestly, and I'm going to be honest, on this planet Earth, we are the worst, and I'm seriously going to say it again, we are the worst as human beings. We make all kind of caca and all kind of pollution. We think we're the man, we think we're the lady, whatever. Okay. But as I'm getting back to the expansion of the so-called monument,
yeah,
no doubt, there is some flaws to it. Okay, yeah. Data needs to be shown, just like the other issue. Okay, but the thing is this. All the people that had opposed the whale sanctuary, and I say this to you guys, I know you guys are listening. Now, what now? But yeah, honestly, the president don't need, he don't need public input. If he thinks that this is a great idea, because the movement is to protect, to preserve, he can easily just write them right now and say, I agree.
Well, I think...
But you know what? If people continue to totally oppose something, you know what? It just might slap us all in our face. You know? So... That's my input to this whole, to that issue and the other issue, and I guess maybe to all the issues.
Well, it's and I think that's something that we're seeing is that the votes, it's important to continue to vote, but the votes hardly matter, or the public input, you know, it's like a chess game. Like I said, people fight this, and then they go, okay, they got to work around. I will say that I saw that... 28 representatives wrote a letter to President Obama saying, please don't
do
this.
Felicia, you guys got to understand right now, okay? Yeah, 28 representatives and a number of senators or whatever, whatever. But you know what? Honestly, there was not a letter that was sent in favor. And a number of them had signed even the in favor one. Okay? So, you know, hey, man. I'm not the brightest guy on this planet Earth, but you know what? If we all always oppose something, then there you go.
Okay. Thank you.
Patricia,
thank you.
Mahalo
so much.
Nui.
Mahalo.
For a time.
Thank
Aloha.
You. Aloha. So Jazz with John is coming up next, and this meeting that I said about how to structure KKCR, our strategic missions and our mission statement, that meeting is at Kapa'a Library, 6 o'clock.
Is there a meeting tonight?
Oh, hold on.
Is there a meeting tonight?
For there's one for Papahanao Mokuakea. That's at the general store in Hanalei. And this is, the presentation is by people who feel very good about the Marine Reserve, and that is in Qingyang Village.
Okay. All righty. We had a caller who needed to know that, so that's the answer.
Okay, so for the Marine Reserve.
Right.
Okay, so this is an informational meeting. Hopefully they will have the document. I've tried to find the document. I haven't been able to find it. Usually these things are... very detailed and difficult to read through, you know, even just for the park, you know, it's an inch and a half thick. It's pretty amazing. A lot of cut and paste that goes into these, but you know, I haven't seen it yet. So I'm looking for it. The meeting tonight is in Hanalei. I was going to go down there actually after the show. It starts at 6. It starts in 5 minutes, so I'll be late, but I'm going to go and check it out in Hanalei. Qingyang Village, it's right where the old Qingyang store was in the original building.
Great.
Okay, so Marshall, do you have any final thoughts? Do we have another caller? So our Jazz with John is going to come up and after the county council report. Marshall?
Yes, I am back.
So
sometimes I'm just kind of torn between talking on the phone and talking on the air.
And a stressful day today for you because the phone hasn't been working right. But
all
thank you, Dean, that it's been working.
Yeah.
So So next week we're going to have Paul Cienfuegos on, and he's going to be here. He is a community organizer. He helps people hit their goals. You know, he helps community movements, and there's often need for help because companies and people with a vested interest, organizations with a vested interest that make money off of a certain asset that is a public asset, they have paid people going in trying to do it. But when it's just miscellaneous people in the community, sometimes people don't know how to get started. And so he's going to be on the show for about an hour. I believe Mason Chalk is going to be in for about an hour, because on May 11th is when the public is able to comment on the county budget. I mean, you could comment any week, any time, but it is particularly for the county budget on May 11th. And so Mason Chalk is going to be in here, and Paul Cienfuegos. And so we continue as KKCR trying to help the community be people empowered. And this is the People's Radio Station, Kauai Community Radio. Jazz with John is up next, and right now, here's the council report.
Aloha. I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Here's a county council report for the week of May 2nd. There will be a council meeting at 8:30 a.m. on Wednesday, May 4th. The meeting will be in the council chambers in Lihue. Here are highlights from the agenda. Council will interview William Fernandez for the Board of Ethics with a term ending 12/31/2018. The mayor transmits for council consideration a resolution to reauthorize the nomination of enterprise zones for consideration and designation by the governor of the state of Hawaii, and this is resolution 2016-41. Council Chair Raposo transmits for council consideration a resolution proposing a charter amendment relating to the institution of a council manager form of government, and this is resolution 2016-42. The Chief of Police requests Council approval to accept a donation of equipment consisting of 3 MorphoTrack live scans valued at $78,133 from the Hawaii Criminal Justice Data Center, Department of the Attorney General, State of Hawaii, which will replace the equipment located at the Hanalei, Lihue, and Waimea substations. Councilmember Yuka Mura transmits for council consideration a proposal to amend the county fuel tax rate by 2 cents effective July 1, 2016, and an additional 2 cents effective July 1, 2017. This is resolution 2016-43 and proposed draft bill number 2630, which is under bills for the first reading. Also, Councilmember Yuka Mura transmits for council consideration a proposed draft bill to amend the county code to increase the motor vehicle weight tax for all motor vehicles designed for carrying passengers and for trucks or non-commercial vehicles by 0.01 and an increase of 0.02 for vehicles designed to carry property. See proposed draft bill 2631, and this is also under bills for the first reading. There are 3 claims against the county on the agenda this week. Under committee reports, the Public Works, Parks, and Recreation Committee received for the record requests from Council Chair Raposo for the Managing Director, the County Attorney, and the Acting County Engineer to provide a briefing on solid waste solutions as it relates to the fiscal year 2016-2017 budget appropriation request. The Public Safety Committee approved Bill 2623 relating to the County Fire Code, and this is also under bills for the second reading. There will be a non-public executive session. Purpose is for the Office of the County Attorney on behalf of the Council to 1. Provide the Council with a briefing, discussion, and consultation regarding the quarterly report on pending and denied claims. 2. To brief the Council on matters concerning the impact that statutes and constitutional provisions will have on efforts to change the governmental structure of the County of Kauai from the current system to a council-manager form of government, and to discuss the opinions issued by the County Attorney as they relate to this matter. And 3. To provide the Council with a briefing regarding equal employment opportunity charges concerning the County of Kauai Police Department, and to obtain settlement authority and related matters, and to provide Council with a briefing on a mediation case. The council's not finished with this meeting. By approximately 1:30 p.m., it will recess for a public hearing on resolution number 2016-39, establishing crosswalks, striped pedestrian walkways, and intersection modifications on Waikomo Road, Koloa District, County of Kauai, and bill number 2627 for an ordinance to amend the county code, adding a new article relating to the Lihue Planning District. After the hearings, the council will reconvene to complete unfinished business. For more information on meetings or meeting archives, visit the county's website. Until next week, I'm John Gordon for KKCR News. Aloha.